Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Once a King, Always a King, The Unmaking of a Latin King by Raimundo Sanchez. Narrated by Rudy Sanda. Introduction. In My Bloody Life, The Making of a Latin King, I wrote about the street gang lifestyle and the circumstances that lead many young people to choose this lifestyle as a way to feel they have a family to belong to. In Once a King, Always a King, I go into how hard it is to escape gang life, and I describe the lasting damage of physical, mental, and sexual abuse. In My Bloody Life, I took my experiences and added parts of the experiences of those around me to create a composite character that showed what it's really like to be in a gang. Most of the mental, physical, and sexual abuse, however, was actually mine. In this book, I stopped using the composite character and began to write completely about myself. As in My Bloody Life, I changed the actual names and many places to protect my identity, and in this book, the order of events is accurate. I altered the situations only enough to protect my identity. Many years of hanging out in the streets with others who secretly searched for the same love and attention I did bonded me in many ways to the gang lifestyle forever. That being said, I must clarify that this bond is based on knowing that many kids continue to suffer the way I did at the hands of those who say they care. My feelings do not contradict in any way my belief that being in a gang means wasting your life. I am well aware of the damage that gangs can do to those who try to escape the lifestyle. I know that it is a fact that gang leaders would be criminals even if gangs didn't exist. This is the reason why I keep my identity concealed. I created a website for My Bloody Life that attempts to educate visitors about the telltale signs of gangs in a neighborhood, and how to know if a child is a member of a gang, or being recruited by a gang. Via that website, I have received several emails from Latin kings questioning my brotherhood, and in no uncertain terms laying down the law of the kings. Although my life was not literally threatened, the message was loud and clear. Had I used my real name, the retaliation I feared would certainly have happened. On the other hand, a few Latin King brothers have written to express their support without asking for details that would compromise my identity. I also received a message from a young brother who asked me if I had known his father. I did. His father is doing time in jail for a long time, and his son, although he speaks positively about his future, is a member of the Latin Kings. I hope he gets out of the gang before it's too late. When I began to recognize the true evil behind the so-called brotherhood in gangs, I tried to get myself away from them. That task turned out to be harder than I could have ever imagined, and I unexpectedly ended up right back where I started, even though I knew it was wrong, because it was familiar and comfortable. Although the need to behave violently was no longer a part of me, I still felt scared to be alone. I'm certain that a great percentage of those who become gang members feel the same way. But there are also many people out there who will never grow up and understand that there are other things in life than dying for meaningless colors. There will always be bitterness where much blood has been spilled in the name of gang affiliation. Those who are stuck will always look for ways to keep others down there with them. This guarantees they will never be lonely. The violence taught at home underlies the violence that is committed in the street. It creates an atmosphere where there is always something to prove, whether or not there is a logical reason. It may be easier for gang members to deal with the anger and hatred that lives inside by remaining in a place where there is never a lack of opportunity to express those feelings. Mainly, I ignored those feelings because I didn't understand them. When I began to recognize the anger and hatred within myself, I tried to deal with these feelings in a sane manner, But it actually took 2 years of incarceration, which I still think was a blessing from God, to open my eyes to what being a man really means. The complete transformation into the man I am today was not easy. The turmoil inside of me ached, but I chose to escape no longer with drugs and alcohol. What I did find was the love and understanding of a young lady, another blessing from God. Marilyn Garcia is the name I use for her in this book. Marilyn came into my life and planted seeds of respect for myself and others, education and communication, and she opened up my soul so that all the harbored pain could escape. Neither Marilyn nor I, unfortunately, ever imagined how much evil would come out of me. When all my anger and hatred came raging out, Marilyn bore the brunt of it. When it was all over, Marilyn was no longer in my life. She probably regrets the moment she ever learned of my existence. I wish I could have gotten rid of my demons in a controlled environment under professional care, but that wasn't the case. I dedicate this book to Marilyn. I hope she will read it and understand that I had no control over what happened between us. It makes me sad that I became a better person and now live a relatively happy life because I unleashed all that rage and anger upon her. I hope and pray that other people who secretly live in pain because of sexual, mental, and physical abuse get professional help before they turn around and cause the same kind of lifelong pain and suffering on someone they love, who loves them. 1. Once a king, always a king. It was prophetic that on the day I freed myself from being a menace to the Latino community in Chicago by leaving the Latin King Nation, I would walk away drenched in the blood of an innocent person. To leave the Latin King Nation, I endured a brutal 3-minute beating called a violation. This alone should have made me want to get as far away as I could and not turn back, but I was unknowingly still shackled to the lifestyle and to the Latin Kings. A hatred for those who called themselves king killers still burned within me. Even knowing that the main source of danger to the Latin Kings was the kings themselves, the only evidence I looked at to fuel that fire was the event that had occurred just moments ago. After my violation, I was walking through the park on my way toward the bus stop. I didn't have to take this route, but I wanted to see how it felt to walk through the park and the Humboldt Park neighborhood with the knowledge that I was no longer a Latin king. I saw my old friend and ex-lover, Loca, with her kids in tow, dealing cocaine. Also present was King Spanky, who, in a wheelchair after being shot by the Latin Kings, was dealing cocaine for the nation. Spanky called out, "Once a king, always a king," as I walked past. Seconds later, shots rang out. I couldn't tell which direction they were coming from or headed. The drive-by shooter hit one of Loca's 2 kids. I ran to him and cradled him in my arms, but he was already dead. The cops arrived and questioned me. Then I headed for the bus. I sat on the bus and stared out the window at Humboldt Park. The place I once thought was heaven had become a hell for many who lived in its surroundings. My clothes were drenched in blood, yet nobody seemed to notice. I cried rivers of tears, but nobody cared. Not one person on that bus looked my way, sympathetically or otherwise. No one bothered to ask about the blood on my clothes, but I did hear comments on how I should just shut up and stop crying already. The loss of an innocent life had become too common an occurrence for anyone to react emotionally unless they were somehow tied to the victim. The death of a young Latino was seen as one less criminal to worry about instead of a horrifying reality. From my viewpoint, there was nothing I could say about that careless attitude because I felt the same way. As the bus passed by an area where cobras
Sample complete. Ready to continue?